And now, Chapter 23, Five Queens Married by Krishna. There was a great rumor that the five Pandava brothers, along with their mother, Kunti, had died, according to the plan of Dhritarashtra, in a fire accident in the house of Shalak in which they were living. But then the five brothers were detected at the marriage ceremony of Draupadi. So another rumor spread that the Pandavas and their mother were not dead. It was a rumor, but actually it was so. They returned to their capital city, Hastinapur, and people saw them face to face. When this news was carried to Krishna and Balaram, Krishna wanted to see them personally, and therefore Krishna decided to go to Hastinapur. This time, Krishna visited Hastinapur in state as a royal prince, accompanied by his commander-in-chief, Duryodhan, and by many other soldiers. He had not actually been invited to visit the city, yet he went to see the Pandavas out of his affection for his great devotees. He visited the Pandavas without warning, and all of them got up from their respective seats as soon as they saw him. Krishna is called Mukunda, because as soon as one comes in constant touch with Krishna, or sees him in full Krishna consciousness, one immediately becomes freed from all material anxieties. Not only that, but one is immediately blessed with all spiritual bliss. Receiving Krishna, the Pandavas were enlivened, just as if awakened from unconsciousness or loss of life. When a man is lying unconscious, his senses and the different parts of his body are inactive. But when he regains his consciousness, the senses immediately become active. Similarly, the Pandavas received Krishna as if they had just regained their consciousness, and so they were very much enlivened. Lord Krishna embraced every one of them, and by the touch of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Pandavas immediately became freed from all reactions of material contamination and were therefore smiling in spiritual bliss. By seeing the face of Lord Krishna, everyone was transcendentally satisfied. Lord Krishna, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was playing the part of an ordinary human being, and thus he immediately touched the feet of Yudhisthira and Bhima, because they were his two older cousins. Arjuna embraced Krishna as a friend of the same age, whereas the two younger brothers, namely Nakul and Sahadev, touched the lotus feet of Krishna to show him respect. After an exchange of greetings, according to the social etiquette befitting the position of the Pandavas and Lord Krishna, Krishna was offered an exalted seat. When he was comfortably seated, the newly married Draupadi, young and very beautiful in her natural feminine gracefulness, came before Lord Krishna to offer her respectful greetings. The Yadavas, who accompanied Krishna to Hastinapur, were also very respectfully received. Specifically, Satyaki, or Yuyudan, was also offered a nice seat. In this way, when everyone was properly seated, the five brothers took their seats near Lord Krishna. After meeting with the five brothers, Lord Krishna personally went to visit Srimati Kunti Devi, the mother of the Pandavas, who was also Krishna's paternal aunt. In offering his respects to his aunt, Krishna also touched her feet. Kunti Devi's eyes became wet, and in great love, she feelingly embraced Lord Krishna. She then inquired from him about the well-being of her paternal family members, her brother Vasudev, his wife, and other members of the family. Similarly, Krishna also inquired from his aunt about the welfare of the Pandava family. Although Kunti Devi was related to Krishna by family ties, she knew immediately after meeting him that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She remembered the past calamities of her life and how, by the grace of Krishna, the Pandavas and their mother had been saved. She knew perfectly well that no one without Krishna's grace could have saved them from the fire accident designed by Dhritarashtra and his sons. In a choked-up voice, she began to narrate before Krishna the history of their life. Srimati Kunti said, "My dear Krishna, I remember the day when you sent my brother Akrura to gather information about us. This means that you always remember us automatically. When you sent Akrura, I could understand that there was no possibility of our being put into danger. All good fortune in our life began when you sent Akrura to us. Since then, I have been convinced that we are not without protection. We may be put into various types of dangerous conditions by our family members, the Kurus, but I am confident that you remember us and always keep us safe and sound. Devotees who simply think of you are always immune to all kinds of material danger, and what to speak of ourselves who are personally remembered by you. So, my dear Krishna, there is no question of bad luck. We are always in an auspicious position because of your grace. But because you have bestowed a special favor on us, people should not mistakenly think that you are partial to some and inattentive to others. You make no such distinction. No one is your favorite and no one is your enemy. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are equal to everyone, and everyone can take advantage of your special protection. The fact is that although you are equal to everyone, you are especially inclined to the devotees who always think of you. The devotees are related to you by ties of love. As such, they cannot forget you even for a moment. You are present in everyone's heart, but because the devotees always remember you, you respond accordingly. Although the mother has affection for all the children, she takes special care of the one who is fully dependent. I know certainly, my dear Krishna, that being seated in everyone's heart, you always create auspicious situations for your unalloyed devotees." Then King Yudhishthir also praised Krishna as the Supreme Personality and universal friend of everyone. But because Krishna was taking special care of the Pandavas, King Yudhishthira said, "My dear Krishna, we do not know what sort of pious activities we have executed in our past lives that have made you so kind and gracious to us. We know very well that the great mystics who always engage in meditation to capture you do not find it easy to obtain such grace, nor can they draw any personal attention from you. I cannot understand why you are so kind to us. We are not yogis. On the contrary, we are attached to material contaminations. We are householders dealing in politics, worldly affairs. I do not know why you are so kind to us." Being requested by King Yudhishthira, Krishna agreed to stay in Hastinapur for 4 months during the rainy season. The 4 months of the rainy season are called Chaturmasya. During this period, the generally itinerant preachers and Brahmins stop at a certain place and live under rigid regulative principles. Although Lord Krishna is above all regulative principles, he agreed to stay at Hastinapur out of affection for the Pandavas. Taking this opportunity of Krishna's residence in Hastinapur, all the citizens of the town got the privilege of seeing him now and then, and thus they merged into transcendental bliss simply by seeing Lord Krishna face to face. One day, while Krishna was staying with the Pandavas, he and Arjun prepared themselves to go to the forest to hunt. Both of them sat down on the chariot, which flew a flag with the picture of Hanuman. Arjun's special chariot is always marked with the picture of Hanuman, and therefore he is also named Kapidvaj. Kapi means Hanuman, and Dvaj means flag. Thus Arjun went to the forest with his bow and infallible arrows. He dressed himself with suitable protective garments, for he was to practice killing many enemies. He specifically entered that part of the forest where there were many tigers, deer, and various other animals. Krishna did not go with Arjun to practice animal killing, for he doesn't have to practice anything. He is self-sufficient. He accompanied Arjun to see how he was practicing, because in the future he would have to kill many enemies. After entering the forest, Arjun killed many tigers, boars, bison, gavayas, a kind of wild animal, rhinoceroses, deer, hares, porcupine, and similar other animals, which he pierced with his arrows. Some of the dead animals that were fit to be offered in sacrifices were carried by the servants and sent to King Yudhishthira. Other ferocious animals, such as tigers and rhinoceroses, were killed only to stop disturbances in the forest. Since there are many sages and saintly persons who are residents of the forest, it is the duty of the Kshatriya kings to keep even the forest in a peaceful condition for living. Arjun felt tired and thirsty from hunting, and therefore he went to the bank of the Yamuna along with Krishna. Arjun is sometimes called Krishna, as is Draupadi. When both the Krishnas, namely Krishna and Arjun, reached the bank of the Yamuna, they washed their hands, feet, and mouths, and drank the clear water of the Yamuna. While resting and drinking water, they saw a beautiful girl of marriageable age walking alone on the bank of the Yamuna. Krishna asked his friend Arjun to go forward and ask the girl who she was. By the order of Krishna, Arjun immediately approached the girl, who was very beautiful, had an attractive body, nice glittering teeth, and a smiling face. Arjun inquired, "My dear girl, you are so beautiful with your raised breasts. May I ask you who you are? We are surprised to see you loitering here alone. What is your purpose in coming here? We can guess only that you are searching after a suitable husband. If you don't mind, you can disclose your purpose. I shall try to satisfy you. The beautiful girl was the River Yamuna personified. She replied, Sir, I am the daughter of the sun god, and I am now performing penance and austerity to have Lord Vishnu as my husband. I think he is the supreme person and just suitable to become my husband. I disclose my desire thus because you wanted to know it. The girl continued, My dear sir, I know that you are the hero Arjuna, so I may further say that I shall not accept anyone as my husband besides Lord Vishnu, because he is the only protector of all living entities and the bestower of liberation for all conditioned souls. I shall be thankful unto you if you pray to Lord Vishnu to be pleased with me. The girl Yamuna knew it well that Arjuna was a great devotee of Lord Krishna, and that if he would pray, Krishna would never deny his request. To approach Krishna directly may sometimes be futile, but to approach Krishna through his devotees is sure to be successful. She further told Arjuna, My name is Kalindi, and I live within the water of the Yamuna. My father was kind enough to construct a special house for me within the waters of the Yamuna, and I have vowed to remain in the water as long as I cannot find Lord Krishna. Arjuna duly carried the message of the girl Kalindi to Krishna, although Krishna, as the supersoul of everyone's heart, knew everything. Without further discussion, Krishna immediately accepted Kalindi and asked her to sit down on the chariot. Then all of them approached King Yudhishthir. After this, Krishna was asked by King Yudhishthir to help in constructing a suitable house to be planned by the great architect Vishvakarma, the celestial engineer in the heavenly kingdom. Krishna immediately called for Vishvakarma and made him construct a wonderful city according to the desire of King Yudhishthir. When this city was constructed, Maharaj Yudhishthir requested Krishna to live with them a few days more to give them the pleasure of his association. Lord Krishna accepted the request of Maharaj Yudhishthir and remained there for many days more. In the meantime, Krishna engaged in the pastime of offering Kandava forest, which belonged to King Indra. Krishna wanted to give it to Agni, the fire god. Kandava forest contained many varieties of drugs, and Agni required to eat them for rejuvenation. Agni, however, did not touch Kandava forest directly, but requested Krishna to help him. Agni knew that Krishna was very much pleased with him because he had formerly given him the Sudarshan disc. So in order to satisfy Agni, Krishna became the chariot driver of Arjuna, and both went to the Kandava forest. After Agni had eaten up the Kandava forest, he was very much pleased. This time, he offered a specific bow known as Gandiv, 4 white horses, 1 chariot, and an invincible quiver with 2 specific arrows considered to be talismans, which had so much power that no warrior could counteract them. When the Kandava forest was being devoured by the fire god Agni, there was a demon of the name Maya who was saved by Arjuna from the devastating fire. For this reason, the former demon became a great friend of Arjuna, and in order to please Arjuna, he constructed a nice assembly house within the city constructed by Vishvakarma. This assembly house had some corners so puzzling that when Duryodhan came to visit this house, he was misdirected, accepting water as land, and land as water. Duryodhan was thus insulted by the opulence of the Pandavas, and he became their determined enemy. After a few days, Krishna took permission from King Yudhishthir to return to Dwarka. When he got permission, he went to his country accompanied by Satyaki, the leader of the Yadus, who were living in Hastinapur with him. Kalindi also returned with Krishna to Dwarka. After returning, Krishna consulted with many learned astrologers to find the suitable moment at which to marry Kalindi, and then he married her with great pomp. This marriage ceremony gave much pleasure to the relatives of both parties, and all of them enjoyed the great occasion. The kings of Avantapur, now known as Ujjain, were named Vinda and Anuvinda. Both kings were under the control of Duryodhan. They had one sister named Mitravinda, who was a very qualified, learned, and elegant girl, the daughter of one of Krishna's aunts. She was to select her husband in an assembly of princes, but she strongly desired to have Krishna as her husband. During the assembly for selecting her husband, however, Krishna was present, and he forcibly carried away Mitravinda in the presence of all other royal princes. Being unable to resist Krishna, the princes were left simply looking at each other. After this incident, Krishna married the daughter of the king of Kosal. The king of Kosal province was called Nagnajit. He was very pious and was a follower of the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. His most beautiful daughter was named Satya. Sometimes Satya was called Nagnajiti, for she was the daughter of King Nagnajit. King Nagnajit wanted to give the hand of his daughter to any prince who could defeat 7 very strong, stalwart bulls maintained by him. No one in the princely order could defeat the 7 bulls, and therefore no one could claim the hand of Satya. The 7 bulls were very strong, and they could hardly bear even the smell of any prince. Many princes approached this kingdom and tried to subdue the bulls, but instead of controlling them, they themselves were defeated. This news spread all over the country, and when Krishna heard that one could achieve the girl Satya only by defeating the 7 bulls, he prepared himself to go to the kingdom of Kosal. With many soldiers, he approached that part of the country known as Ayodhya, making a regular state visit. When it was known to the king of Kosal that Krishna had come to ask the hand of his daughter, he was very pleased. With great respect and pomp, he welcomed Krishna to the kingdom. When Krishna approached him, he offered the Lord a suitable sitting place and articles for reception. Everything appeared very elegant. Krishna also offered him respectful obeisances, thinking him to be his future father-in-law. When Satya, the daughter of King Nagnajit, understood that Krishna himself had come to marry her, she was very much pleased that the husband of the goddess of fortune had so kindly come there to accept her. For a long time she had cherished the idea of marrying Krishna and was following the principles of austerities to obtain her desired husband. She then began to think, "If I have performed any pious activities to the best of my ability, and if I have sincerely thought all along to have Krishna as my husband, then Krishna may be pleased to fulfill my long-cherished desire." She began to offer prayers to Krishna mentally, thinking, I do not know how the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be pleased with me. He is the Master and Lord of everyone. Even the Goddess of Fortune, whose place is next to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and many other demigods of different planets, always offer their respectful obeisances unto the Lord. The Lord also sometimes descends on this earth in different incarnations to fulfill the desire of His devotees. He is so exalted and great that I do not know how to satisfy Him. She thought that the Supreme Personality of Godhead could be pleased only out of His own causeless mercy upon the devotee. Otherwise, there was no means to please Him. Lord Chaitanya, in the same way, prayed in his Shikshastika verses, "My Lord, I am your eternal servant. Somehow or other, I have fallen into this material existence. If you kindly pick me up and fix me as an atom of dust at your lotus feet, it will be a great favor to your eternal servant." The Lord can be pleased only by a humble attitude in the service spirit. The more we render service unto the Lord under the direction of the spiritual master, the more we make advancement on the path of approaching the Lord. We cannot demand any grace or mercy from the Lord because of our service rendered to Him. He may accept or not accept our service, but the only means to satisfy the Lord is through the service attitude and nothing else. King Nagnajit was already a pious king, and having Krishna in his palace, he began to worship Lord Krishna to the best of his knowledge and ability. He presented himself before the Lord thus, "My dear Lord, You are the proprietor of the whole cosmic manifestation, and You are Narayan, the resting place of all living creatures. You are self-sufficient and pleased with Your personal opulences. So how can I offer You anything? And how could I please You by such an offering? It is not possible, because I am an insignificant living being. Actually, I have no ability to render any service unto You." Krishna is the Supersoul of all living creatures, so he could understand the mind of Satya, the daughter of King Nagnajit. He was also very much pleased with the respectful worship of the king in offering him a sitting place, edibles, residence, and so on. He was appreciative, therefore, that both the girl and the father of the girl were anxious to have him as their intimate relative. He began to smile, and in a great voice said, "My dear King Nagnajit, you know very well that anyone in the princely order who is regular in his position will never ask anything from anyone, however exalted he may be. Such requests by a Kshatriya king have been deliberately forbidden by the learned Vedic followers. If a Kshatriya breaks this regulation, his action is condemned by learned scholars. But in spite of this rigid regulative principle, I am asking you for the hand of your beautiful daughter just to establish our relationship in return for your great reception of me. You may also be pleased to be informed that in our family tradition, there is no scope for our offering anything in exchange for accepting your daughter. We cannot pay any price you may impose for delivering her." In other words, Krishna wanted the hand of Satya from the king without fulfilling the condition of defeating the seven bulls. After hearing the statement of Lord Krishna, King Nagnajit said, "My dear Lord, You are the reservoir of all pleasure, all opulences, and all qualities. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmiji, always lives on your chest. Under these circumstances, who can be a better husband for my daughter? Both my daughter and I have always prayed for this opportunity. You are the chief of the Yadu dynasty. You may kindly know that from the very beginning, I have made a vow to marry my daughter to a suitable candidate, one who can come out victorious in the test I have devised. I have imposed this test just to understand the prowess and position of my intended son-in-law. You, Lord Krishna, are the chief of all heroes. I am sure you shall be able to bring these 7 bulls under control without any difficulty. Until now, they have never been subdued by any prince. Anyone who has attempted to bring them under control has simply had his limbs broken. King Nagnajit continued his request. Krishna, if you'll kindly bridle the 7 bulls and bring them under control, then undoubtedly you will be selected as the desired husband of my daughter Satya. After hearing this statement, Krishna could understand that the king did not want to break his vow. Thus, in order to fulfill his desire, he tightened his belt and prepared to fight with the bulls. He immediately divided himself into 7 Krishnas, and each one of them immediately caught hold of a bull and bridled its nose, thus bringing it under control as if it were a plaything. Krishna's dividing himself into 7 is very significant. It was known to Satya, the daughter of King Nagnajit, that Krishna had already married many other wives, but still she was attached to Krishna. In order to encourage her, Krishna immediately expanded himself into 7. The purport is that Krishna is one, but he has unlimited forms of expansions. He married many thousands of wives, but this does not mean that while he was with one wife, the others were bereft of his association. Krishna could associate with each and every wife by his expansions. When Krishna brought the bulls under his control by bridling their noses, their strength and pride were immediately smashed. The name and fame which the bulls had attained was thus vanquished. When Krishna had the bulls bridled, he pulled them strongly, just as a child pulls a toy wooden bull. Upon seeing this advantage of Krishna, King Nagnajit became very much astonished, and immediately, with great pleasure, brought his daughter Satya before Krishna and handed her over to him. Krishna also immediately accepted Satya as his wife. Then there was a marriage ceremony with great pomp. The queens of King Nagnajit were also very much pleased because their daughter, Satya, got Krishna as her husband. Since the king and queens were very pleased on this auspicious occasion, there was a celebration all over the city in honor of the marriage. Everywhere were heard the sounds of the conch shell and kettle drum and various other vibrations of music and song. The learned Brahmins showered their blessings upon the newly married couple. In jubilation, all the inhabitants of the city dressed themselves with colorful garments and ornaments. King Nagnajit was so pleased that he gave a dowry to his daughter and son-in-law as follows. First of all, he gave them 10,000 cows and 3,000 well-dressed young maidservants, ornamented up to their necks. This system of dowry is still current in India, especially for Kshatriya princes. Also, when a Kshatriya prince is married, at least a dozen maidservants of similar age are given along with the bride. After giving the cows and maidservants, the king enriched the dowry by giving 9,000 elephants and 100 times more chariots than elephants. This means that he gave 900,000 chariots. And he gave 100 times more horses than chariots, or 90 million horses, and 100 times more slaves than horses. Royal princes maintain such slaves and maidservants with all provisions, as if they were their own children or family members. After giving this dowry, the king of the coastal province bade his daughter and great son-in-law be seated on a chariot, and allowed them to go to their home, guarded by a division of well-equipped soldiers. As they traveled fast to their new home, his heart was enlivened with affection for them. Before this marriage of Satya with Krishna, there had been many competitive engagements with the bulls of King Nagnajit, and many other princes of the Yadu dynasty and of other dynasties as well had tried to win the hand of Satya. When the frustrated princes of the other dynasties heard that Krishna was successful in getting the hand of Satya by subduing the bulls, naturally they became envious. While Krishna was traveling to Dwarka, all the frustrated and defeated princes encircled him and began to shower their arrows on the bridal party. When they attacked Krishna's party and shot arrows like incessant torrents of rain, Arjuna, the best friend of Krishna, took charge of the challenge, and he alone very easily drove them off to please his great friend Krishna on the occasion of his marriage. He immediately took up his bow, Gandiv, and chased away all the princes. Exactly as a lion drives away all other small animals simply by chasing them, Arjuna drove away all the princes without killing even one of them. After this, the chief of the Yadu dynasty, Lord Krishna, along with his newly married wife and a huge dowry, entered the city of Dwarka with great pomp. Krishna then lived there with his wife very peacefully. Krishna had another aunt, his father's sister, whose name was Shrutakirti, and who was married and lived in the Kakaya province. She had a daughter whose name was Bhadra. Bhadra also wanted to marry Krishna, and her brother handed her over to him unconditionally. Krishna also accepted her as his bona fide wife. Thereafter, Krishna married a daughter of the king of the Madras province. Her name was Lakshmana. Lakshmana had all good qualities. She was also forcibly married by Krishna, who took her in the same way that Garuda snatched the jar of nectar from the hands of the demons. Krishna kidnapped this girl in the presence of many other princes in the assembly of her Svayamvara. Svayamvara is a ceremony in which the bride can select her own husband from an assembly of many princes. The description of Krishna's marriage with the 5 girls mentioned in this chapter is not sufficient. He had many other thousands of wives besides them. Krishna accepted the other thousands of wives after killing a demon named Bhaumasura. All these thousands of girls were held captive in the palace of Bhaumasura, and Krishna released them and married them. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 2nd volume, 23rd chapter of Krishna, 5 Queens Married by Krishna.